Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. It's a sad day today. Most of you know that in Charleston, South Carolina, in a historic black church, a young white man with a gun, who apparently hated black people, took out his gun and started shooting. 9 people are dead, including the pastor. A man, young man, I hesitate to even give his name, got a 45, although I'm sure any of you can read about it, but it's not about him to me. It's about the fact that he got a 45 caliber handgun as a birthday present. Even his uncle said he seemed adrift. What a great present for someone who seems adrift. Then they give them an easy way to murder others. This individual, apparently, is featured on his Facebook profile, proudly wearing a jacket featuring the flags of apartheid South Africa and apartheid Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe. He apparently told one person in the church, quote, "I have to do this. You rape our women and you're taking over our country," unquote. My question is, could anyone see this coming? When you know someone is a virulent racist, when you know someone is adrift, when you know someone is troubled, is it a good idea to give that person a 45 caliber handgun? The uncle seemed, I don't know. He seemed like really, like he was out of sorts, like he was depressed, like he was angry, like he was a racist. So I just gave him a handgun to make him feel better. I wonder if we had laws. What if we had laws that said that people who give guns to people whom they have reason to believe might go on a murderous rampage will be held liable for the deaths that they played a role in causing? Surely all those people out there who love your guns wouldn't give a weapon to someone you knew was troubled and dangerous. I don't know all the circumstances yet. I only know what I'm telling you. We're going to learn a lot more in a few minutes. I do want you to hear, though, what President Obama had to say just a couple hours ago.
Good afternoon, everybody. This morning, I spoke with and Vice President Biden spoke with Mayor Joe Riley and other leaders of Charleston to express our deep sorrow over the senseless murders that took place last night. Michelle and I know several members of Emmanuel AME Church. We knew their pastor, Reverend Clementa Pinckney, who, along with 8 others, gathered in prayer and fellowship and was murdered last night. And to say our thoughts and prayers are with them and their families and their community doesn't say enough to convey the heartache and the sadness and the anger that we feel. Any death of this sort is a tragedy. Any shooting involving multiple victims is a tragedy. There is something particularly heartbreaking about a death happening in a place in which we seek solace and we seek peace, in a place of worship. Mother Emmanuel is, in fact, more than a church. This is a place of worship that was founded by African Americans seeking liberty. This is a church that was burned to the ground because its worshipers worked to end slavery. When there were laws banning all black church gatherings, they conducted services in secret. When there was a nonviolent movement to bring our country closer in line with our highest ideals, some of our brightest leaders spoke and led marches from this church's steps. This is a sacred place in the history of Charles and in the history of America. The FBI is now on the scene with local police, and more of the Bureau's best are on the way to join them. The Attorney General has announced plans for the FBI to open a hate crime investigation. We understand that the suspect is in custody, and I'll let the best of law enforcement do its work to make sure that justice is served. Until the investigation is complete, I'm necessarily constrained in terms of talking about the details of the case. But I don't need to be constrained about the emotions that tragedies like this raise. I've had to make statements like this too many times. Communities like this have had to endure tragedies like this too many times. We don't have all the facts, but we do know that, once again, innocent people were killed in part because someone who wanted to inflict harm had no trouble getting their hands on a gun. Now is the time for mourning and for healing. But let's be clear. At some point, we as a country will have to reckon with the fact that this type of mass violence does not happen in other advanced countries. It doesn't happen in other places with this kind of frequency. And it is in our power to do something about it. I say that recognizing the politics in this town foreclose a lot of those avenues right now. But it'd be wrong for us not to acknowledge it. And at some point, it's going to be important for the American people to come to grips with it and for us to be able to shift how we think about the issue of gun violence collectively. The fact that this took place in a black church obviously also raises questions about a dark part of our history. This is not the first time that black churches have been attacked, and we know that hatred across races and faiths pose a particular threat to our democracy and our ideals. The good news is I am confident that the outpouring of unity and strength and fellowship and love across Charleston today, from all races, from all faiths, from all places of worship, indicates the degree to which those old vestiges of hatred can be overcome. That certainly was Dr. King's hope just over 50 years ago, after four little girls were killed in a bombing in a black church in Birmingham, Alabama. He said they lived meaningful lives, and they died nobly. They say to each of us, Dr. King said, black and white alike, that we must substitute courage for caution. They say to us that we must be concerned not merely with who murdered them, but about the system, the way of life, the philosophy which produced the murderers. Their death says to us that we must work passionately and unrelentingly for the realization of the American dream. And if one will hold on, he will discover that God walks with him and that God is able to lift you from the fatigue of despair to the buoyancy of hope and transform dark and desolate valleys into sunlit paths of inner peace. Reverend Pinckney and his congregation understood that spirit. Their Christian faith compelled them to reach out, not just to members of their congregation or to members of their own communities, but to all in need. They opened their doors to strangers who might enter a church in search of healing or redemption. Mother Emmanuel Church and its congregation have risen before, from flames, from an earthquake, from other dark times, to give hope to generations of Charlestonians. And with our prayers and our love and sea of hope, it will rise again now as a place of peace. Thank you.
That was President Obama talking about the shooting in a South Carolina black church today. 9 people are dead. The shooter not only had Confederate flags on his vehicle, but was in a Facebook post with 2 apartheid-era flags and apparently said some racist things right before or while he was doing the shooting. He had a low-level arrest record, been arrested for trespass, going into a mall where he wanted to know the details of who was going to be at that mall. We will find out more about the killer as time goes on. But there's no dispute the man was racist. There's no dispute that he got a 45 caliber handgun from his uncle on his birthday. There's no dispute that he sat in church an hour before opening fire, and that he reloaded 5 times. What can we do? What can America do to prevent this evil from happening again? This is Mark Levin. Give me a call. 888-48-MARK. 888-48-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levin.
45 states in the District of Columbia have hate crimes laws. 45 states in the District of Columbia recognize that a person who hates all people of a certain race, religion, national origin, or sexual orientation, that these people are dangerous. And if their crimes are not punished more severely, it will encourage others to do the same crimes. 45 states have this law. South Carolina does not. In 2007, a young gay man by the name of Sean Kennedy was murdered outside a bar in Greenville, South Carolina. His killer yelled anti-gay slurs before killing him. His killer got a year in jail. 1 year. 1 year for murder. South Carolina has a large number of hate groups in it. I want to know what South Carolina is going to do about the hate in its state. Indiana only reacted when we threatened to boycott. Maybe that's the answer for South Carolina. I don't know. But the idea that someone can go inside a black church, an historically black church, a black church that was burned to the ground in the civil rights era for daring to insist that blacks have the right to vote. If it's that easy to go into a black church and murder 9 people, then, hey, NRA, how about you love people with arms? How about checking for guns every single person outside every church in America? I'm plenty angry, and I guess when I've calmed down, we'll try to figure out a way out of this together. I would like to hear your ideas. But right now, we have a right to be in pain. We have a right to be angry. This is Mark Levin. 888-488-6275 is the number. Let's go to Ann in Oregon on line 5. Hi, Ann. How are you?
Hi. Thank you for your program and your thoughts. I keep fluctuating between anger and sorrow.
Yeah.
Personally, the first thing I'm going to do is send a check to Southern Poverty Law Center.
Good idea.
Because they fight hate groups like this. What I would suggest the first thing for South Carolina should do would bring down their Confederate flag. I understand it's a military Confederate flag,
right,
flying at their state capitol.
Right. That would be nice.
It would be.
That would be a nice symbol.
It would be a nice symbol, wouldn't it? But I'll bet you, and I think I would win, that they'll leave it up.
Yeah, they have it on the Confederate Memorial. They did take it from the Capitol Dome. It's still on the Confederate Memorial. The thing about it is the flag is not an historic thing that dates to the Civil War. It was first flown in 1962 in the time of the protests against desegregation. You know, it's one thing to have a memorial that explains history. The Confederates were part of history. The Civil War was part of history. In a museum, I understand the flag. But a flag that comes from 1962 is not a historical thing. It's a simple attack on black people. So I agree with you.
Well, thank you for informing me that it's on the Confederate Memorial now.
It used to be on the dome. You're absolutely right that it was on the dome. Okay. They did remove it in 2000 to a memorial, which is better than on the dome. But
yeah.
Still, it's not a historic thing. I'll tell you, I live in Alexandria, Virginia. We have a memorial to Confederate soldiers in Alexandria, Virginia, that dates back to the 19th century, dates back to the 1800s. And I understand it doesn't have a flag on it. It's just there are lots of Confederate memorials actually throughout the South. And I understand the history of those, and I wouldn't take those down. But I do think the flag is an unnecessary provocation. And I'll tell you, more important than the flag, how about if South Carolina passes a hate crimes bill, passes a bill that says that if you commit a crime with the purpose of hate, that crime is more severe than an ordinary crime. You punch someone, that's one thing. But if you punch someone because you hate all fill-in-the-blank people, that's quite serious. That's something else. I think that's a law that we need to push South Carolina to get behind, and then we need to start to talk seriously about guns, about
that
how it is that people get guns, and including people who are quite disturbed.
Those are wonderful ideas, and I'm going to hang up and let other people give their ideas too. Thank you.
Thank you for your call, Ann. Thank you for your sentiments. I agree with Ann. It's sorrow mixed with anger. We've been here before, America. We've been here way too often. This one was a hate crime. Newtown was a troubled individual. There's Aurora, Colorado, where the person thought he was in a movie. What we do know is that it's really, really, really easy to get a gun in America. It's too easy. It's harder to drive a car. To drive a car, you have to pass a test. You have to get registered. Your car is registered. You need a driver's license. And if you don't pass the test, it's not legal for you to drive. Sure, you can drive anyway for a while, but it's illegal. And if people help you do something illegal, then they are committing crimes. Why are guns so different from cars? Look, cars are not designed to kill people. They do kill people, but that's not what they're designed to do. Guns are designed to kill people. Not hunting rifles. It would be hard to get a long-barreled hunting rifle concealed in a church. But handguns are designed to kill people. If you're not a police officer, if you're not in the military, if you have no real reason to need a gun in self-defense, why are you carrying a gun in a black church? Can we at least make it illegal to carry guns into churches, folks? 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. The country is still reeling over the murder of 9 people in a black church by a 21-year-old racist who we know, I'm not sure if this is a murder weapon or not, but we know was given a 45 caliber handgun by his uncle as a birthday present. What do we know about... It was his uncle. I'll double check. Oh, wait. His father. You're absolutely right. It was his father. Thank
his
you.
His uncle apparently
his uncle
helped
said he
turn
was
him in or something.
Oh,
said
excuse
he was
me.
Crazy.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mark, for... again, I'm learning about this as it goes on. Thank you, Mark, for the
oh,
corrections.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, no. It was his father who gave him the gun. Here's what we know, and I'm reading about it as we speak. We know that he went to more than 3 schools between 4th and 8th grade. We know he attended high school for less than 2 years, for about a year and a half, ninth and half of 10th grade, apparently was a dropout. We know that he had on his Facebook page pictures of him with a terrible frown next to two apartheid-era flags from South Africa and Zimbabwe, that then called Rhodesia. We know that he was arrested for trespassing in a mall where he was asking when people get off work and suspicious questions, and then found with certain hallucinogenic drugs on him. It was his uncle, you're absolutely right, Mark, that said that his father had given him a .45 caliber handgun as a birthday present. He was practicing with his gun. We also know that he was known as Wild in high school, used heavily drugs, not marijuana, much more serious than marijuana, pill popper, one of his friends said, and he had a reputation for spouting racist messages. Strong conservative beliefs, one person said. Southern pride. He made a lot of racist jokes. So, what are we to think? There obviously are hateful people. That's common. My question is this. Did he have any friends on Facebook? Did his parents see the picture? Should we have known, should his father have known before giving him a .45 caliber handgun as a birthday present, that he had a virulently racist son? Should that matter? Should that matter? Should it be so easy for everyone who wants a gun to get one? Not for hunting, not for police, not to be in the military. Just because, a racist wants to own a gun. Should that be sufficient reason to be able to easily go in and buy one? Something has to stop here. And at the very least, South Carolina needs a hate crimes law. Needs a law to punish severely, severely, people who commit hate crimes, if only to serve as a warning for others. But there are always going to be drifters. There are always going to be people in the community who are racist. There are always going to be people in the community who have minor arrest records and who are known as wild and on drugs. The question is, should it be that easy for any crazy person to get a gun? Is that what America is all about? The right of crazy, hateful people to own guns? Or perhaps should we respect the rights of the parishioners at the church a little bit more? It's Mark Levine, 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. Let's go to Brian in Denver. Hey, Brian. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right. I'm still upset, yeah. But I'm all right.
Yeah, me too. We've talked several times before.
Yes, but, I know.
You know, once again, I have to give sort of a counter view to some of your proposed solutions, which I think are incredibly dangerous and as you can imagine, in my view, short-sighted. Gun control issue, guns were easier to get 50 years ago, and this stuff didn't happen. So that's not the problem.
I don't think guns were easier to get 50 years ago. I don't think so at all. We didn't have the internet 50 years ago. We didn't have the prevalence of gun shows.
I bought a semi-automatic rifle when I was 12 years old because it was year of hunting. I know they were easy. People used to have them. We used to have them in our cars during school because we used to go hunting after school in the parking lot of our high school. Probably a fourth of the cars had guns in them. So, I mean, it's not, and secondly, you know, you talk about hate crime.
You could still buy them today very easily as a 12-year-old. Just walk into any gun show. You can be a 6-year-old and buy a semi-automatic rifle.
No, that's not true.
Sure. They'll sell it to you. You got the money. You know, someone's there with the money.
Not true. Have you ever seen that happen? I've gone to several gun shows that just doesn't happen. That's a false.
We know there was a 9-year-old girl just a year ago who shot her instructor accidentally, of course.
Yeah, did she buy the gun?
I'm sure her parents bought it for him. Did you buy the gun with your own money when you were 12, or did your parents buy it for you?
No, birthday money, and I bought it. I went into a store, and we bought it. And,
well, with your parents, yeah, right? You didn't go alone, right?
Yeah, my parents were there.
But, right.
No, I did. Anyway, that's not the point. Is also you talk about hate crimes. Tell me which murder isn't a hate crime. And secondly, do you think an avowed racist sick person like this is going to be at all deterred because, now it's really illegal, and South Carolina already has a death penalty, so you think they're going to, now say, we're going to really kill you? I mean, hate crimes are nothing. Hate crime legislation, and as a liberty-loving, free speech-loving person,
Brian, I'm going to respond to you. Let me tell you, I'm cutting you off not because I disagree with you, although I do, but because your sound quality is really bad. So I'm going to ask you just to call back in, and we will continue this discussion. But I do want to respond. If you want to listen to my response before you call back in, that's fine. But you're being cut off. I assume it's a cell phone or something. It's not personal. I will say this. Hate crimes are often useful before they reach the ultimate of murder. There's a big difference between burning leaves on your neighbor's lawn, which is a nasty thing to do, but, and burning a cross on your neighbor's lawn, which is meant as a warning, which is meant as a racist warning from a white person to a black person. There's a huge difference between scrawling Johnny Loves Susie on a tree and scrawling Kill All the Jews on a synagogue. They're both just paint on a wall. They're both vandalism. The second crime is meant as a warning, as hate, as to scare a whole group of people. The first crime is defacing property. The first crime, as far as I'm concerned, should be a misdemeanor. You shouldn't paint Johnny Loves Susie on your neighbor's tree. But writing Kill All Jews on a synagogue or burning a cross on a black person's lawn are different things. It's different when a drunk guy in a bar throws a punch and when a guy goes to a line at a gay bar and shouts out anti-gay slurs and then punches and kills somebody, which is what happened in South Carolina. Those are different crimes. The motivation is different. The intent is different. We judge murder differently. You know, if you drink and drive and kill someone, that's actually not murder. It is a crime. It's called involuntary manslaughter. You will go to jail. But if you stake out your victim and seek to kill them and premeditate and intentionally murder that person, that's first-degree murder, and you are likely to get the death penalty in various states. So murder is not murder. There are different ways to kill someone. There are different ways to burn. There are different ways to scrawl graffiti. And hate crimes laws do several things. One, they do warn the perpetrator, but if the perpetrator is going to continue anyway, they also warn the nation that this kind of stuff isn't to be tolerated. We'll get back to Brian when his phones get better. Let me go to Roy in Massachusetts on line one. Hi, Roy. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. Hopefully my signal is well enough so you understand me.
Your signal's good, Roy.
Good. Okay. Let me finish before you jump, okay? I'm mostly definitely pro-gun. I'm an NRA instructor. And I totally disagree with a lot of ways people look at NRA. They think that we're supporting killing people. Let me state I believe, and I really wish you would take a look at the individual states, their gun laws, because Massachusetts is very strict. Vermont, B18, okay, and that's just 68 miles away from me. What we really need to do, and this is a pro-gun person talking, first of all, gun owners have to be responsible for what their firearms do. And that means if mine leaves the house because I did not secure it properly, I should be punished.
Wow. We agree. Keep going.
Okay. What I wish, and I truly wish, is the politicians get together. Because no offense, and I mean I'm not educated that well, I really think that the NRA and the politicians are two big businesses that fight against each other so more people throw more money at them to do a cause.
That's not the reason that I fight for better gun laws. I guarantee you.
Well, you know, me too. I also too. I'm very offended. Like, I live near Springfield, Massachusetts, high rate of gun crime, and they say we need more gun control. We have to investigate where these firearms are coming from and penalize the people that are basically, if they're being stolen from someone's residence and used in a crime. I think everybody involved in that whole transaction, the original gun owner and the people who stole it.
Or even worse, Roy, if you sell your gun over at a gun show to someone who comes on Craigslist because they say, I want to enter a black church and kill black people, and you sell your gun to that person, you should be convicted of a crime. You should be convicted of a crime if you simply sell a gun to someone and you don't run a background check first. You know what? I think that should be the law. But if it's not the law, we'll make you civilly liable. We'll make you pay for the funerals of 9 dead people and for the wrongful death. Guns are dangerous. And if you sell a nuclear warhead, if you sell if you sell arsenic to someone knowing it's going to be used to poison someone, you should be guilty of that murder. Guns are very dangerous. And if you give it to someone who you have reason to believe, or you don't do your checking, you don't check to see that the person has a Facebook page with apartheid messages. You don't check to see that someone has a criminal background. And you just sell it to them, you should be held liable. Or we should make that illegal, which is, of course, my first priority. Background checks should be universal. I appreciate your call, Roy. And I'll tell you this. People who are legitimate hunters, people who are NRA members who simply want a gun to shoot or want a gun for self-defense and haven't committed felonies and don't have, you know, serious mental derangement issues, I am okay with that. I'm not a liberal that wants to ban every gun. But guns are very dangerous. And you're absolutely right. If they fall in the wrong hands, the people who put them in the wrong hands should be responsible.
I totally agree. And I just want to add just one more thing.
Yeah.
You know, Massachusetts has very strict gun laws, and I really wish the politicians across the whole United States could get together and say, we need a minimum requirement or, you know, the line, and say, okay, what's working in other states? Maybe we should, like driver's licenses, we go 50 states. You know what I'm saying? The pistol permits, the laws, they should all be the same. This way here, every state's the same. Then we can start doing – I'm totally 100% in favor of background checks. I'm mental health, the whole nine yards. I know a lot of people that shouldn't be driving cars.
Yeah, and we give people a test. We give them a test in order to drive a car. Why do we do that? Why do we require people to pass a test to drive a car? Because cars are dangerous if misused. That's why.
True.
We don't require people to pass a test to drive a bicycle because there's not much damage they can do. Maybe to themselves, but not so much to others.
Themselves.
Right.
But to let you know, just to educate you if you didn't know, as an NRA instructor, again, the students have to pass a test
Good.
To get their certificates.
Good. And I presume you would never allow the 9-year-old girl to have a gun in her own hands, like the one for your own safety, you would never allow that.
Well, I'm going to explain something. And I hope my fellow instructors don't blame me. That NRA instructor was in the wrong position. He was fully 100% in the wrong position, where if you look at the angle of that gun, it was coming right at him. He should have never been in that position. And second of all, you don't let a young lady, no offense, nobody bust me, with that type of weapon where they couldn't control it.
Well, you don't let anyone who can't control a weapon to have a weapon, period. I don't care
that
if it's a 25-year-old man who has weak hands. I mean, you don't let anyone who can't control a weapon have a weapon. It's the same reason you don't let someone who threatened to kill a bunch of people like this killer did have a weapon.
Yep, I agree. And you know another thing, and I know we're going off subject, but all of these threats on Facebook, and now the government wants to take away prosecution and not make it. I think if someone makes a statement, I'm going to do something
right
to you, we have to, in this day and age, take this seriously.
Absolutely we do. And I think if you threaten to kill someone, they should take away your guns. Period.
1,000%. I'm right behind you. Run for president.
Right now I'm still going to serve as Virginia delegate. Give me a chance before I run for president. Thanks for your call, Roy. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we get back to Brian from Denver. He's on a landline. I know he's got a lot more to say to me, and we want to hear from him. And you, if you call at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Right back after this. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine. The murder of 9 people inside a black church that occurred yesterday was bragged about by the killer. The killer said to a bunch of his friends at the trailer park where he lived that he was going to go out on Wednesday and kill a bunch of people. Apparently no one called the local police. But as one of the people at the trailer park said, he flat out told us he was going to do this stuff. As another one said, he was looking to kill a bunch of people on Wednesday. One of them said that they didn't report him because, quote, he's weird. You don't know when to take him seriously and when not to. His father had given him a .45 caliber handgun for his 21st birthday. And Mark Grimaldi's right, I shouldn't pick on his uncle. His uncle actually helped to catch him, calling him a monster, saying he needs to pay for what he had done. So please, no disrespect to the uncle. I apologize. Lots of disrespect for the father. Do you think his father didn't know that he was a dangerous racist? I mean, the guy had a Facebook post where he shows 2 apartheid flags and another one with a Confederate States of America license plate. You know, maybe people like that who threaten to kill people shouldn't be able to easily get guns. Brian from Denver, you're back on a landline. It's your word. Go ahead.
I am a little bit disappointed that this is taking a gun control route. I think this is, you know, pardon me, but I think it's kind of callous opportunism by the left to now use this to propose one of their pet causes.
Isn't it callous opportunism to get a gun when you're a racist threatening to kill people and then to get that gun and kill people?
You know,
really? You don't want us to be angry about the fact that if this kid didn't have a gun, the worst he could do is throw a punch?
What you're proposing is, first of all, you don't know the circumstances of him getting it other than he was given it. And secondly, you don't know, you know, look, there are 300 million guns in this country, and you're proposing, and the left is now jumping all over this, like this is going to fix something. It's not. It's a false hope. Look, there were 13 African-American young men killed in Baltimore after the riots by other African-American young men in a city and a state that has some of the most stringent gun control laws in this country. So,
and they get most of their guns from Virginia, which unfortunately has very lax gun control laws in this
country. Well, look, I actually lived in Northern Virginia a while, so you know Fairfax and Montgomery County, right?
Yes.
Okay, you do a comparison of the crime statistics and the violent crime statistics and gun crime statistics between Fairfax and Montgomery County, they are statistically the same. And in fact, Montgomery has...
That's because it's really easy to carry a gun across state lines. How about this? If you carry a gun across state lines, we put you 10 years in jail. Are you okay with that? Because then we might see a difference between the gun crimes in Fairfax and Montgomery County. But as it is, you could transfer killing machines. Heck, you might as well just drive a tank across state lines. Okay. It's that easy to violate one state's gun laws.
Do you know what the crime statistics are in Fairfax and Montgomery County?
I'm sure they're quite similar. They're both nice counties.
No. Are they high or low?
They're low because they're wealthy counties.
Exactly. So let's look at other causes other than, you know, the left always likes to, like, they want to impose freedoms on our liberties, right? First thing you
I don't think there's a liberty right to kill people. I really don't. I don't think it's not in the Second Amendment.
Mark,
it's nowhere. There's no right to kill people unless it's in self-defense. Brian, I'm afraid we are out of time. I'll tell you what. Call in tomorrow. We'll have a much longer discussion on this because I'm really not trying to shut you off. My hour is over, though. Please call in tomorrow, folks. If you want to follow me on Twitter at Mark Levine Talk, please do so. This is Mark Levine signing off.